Guess who else we have?
Who?
The OG.
Who the
Big Savagery?
Ramon.
Hey.
You know. Say my name.
Ramon.
Do what?
Say my name.
I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
Do you respect the bad guy?
Ramon.
Ramon Foster is with us. I know who you are. You got anything left in those legs? Can you go block for the Titans?
You know what? At this point, I just might. They put Jamarco Jones on IR too?
Yeah, it's not pretty.
I don't even know what to say. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer about this, but man, like finding an offensive lineman right now, that's a stretch. So I'm hoping they got a better plan than I have in my head right now.
Yep, you said it. Jamarco Jones with the tricep injury just went to IR, obviously didn't practice. And then on that injury report too, Taylor Lewan, we saw that knee injury, didn't practice again today. No new information on what's going on there, but obviously that doesn't look good. So, Ramon, we're going to start with the negative before we go talk about this Tennessee-Florida game on Saturday. First, we're going to talk about this Titans offensive line because I went back and watched specifically that group when I went back to watch the game, and I thought it was bad from left to right. Like, it wasn't one that stood out to me. But in a big picture question, what went wrong with that unit?
Couldn't find any cohesion as far as the run game goes. You guys know, like I know, the Titans are a run-first team, have always been. And unless something changes, you know, over these next few weeks, I think they're going to stay that way. So they can't afford to have games where that run game's not clicking. And this is the way it operates, too, sometimes. You know, Derek is a guy that beats you down over time. With that being said, if they're not getting the yards that he wants or you continue to get negative yards, then that really makes you go to what you're not good at, and that's throwing the ball through the air. And that's kind of what we saw this past weekend. It wasn't just bad as far as giving up sacks and stuff like that. There was pressure that was given up, but just first and second down ate the Titans up, and it was just – you know, one of those days that nothing worked for you. And this is the other side of it, too, is the Bills are a really good team. I think we all witnessed that this past Monday night simply because offensively they were good. Defensively they got takeaways. And then on special teams, whether it was a rookie and Kyle Phillips that did it or not, I mean, you got to admit they got turnovers on special teams. To me, that said that team is clicking. They're clicking really good really early within, at the beginning of the season. And I hate that the Titans were, a product of what they were good at on primetime football.
Well, Savagery, listen. When we talk about King Henry going downhill and getting going and finding the crease and being able to break it, the offensive line.
With 25 carries a game.
Exactly. Yeah. So
that brings
in every time I talk about the trenches, man, on either side of the ball, it's a part called physicality that goes hand in hand with it. Are you even seeing that out of the guys? Like, when I went back and watched the film, it was difficult to find parts where you could just say, okay, well, he's being physical right here. Maybe that could trickle down. Did you see any of that while watching?
You know what? Even if you did see one guy be physical, you didn't see all five. You know, like, that's the thing about an offensive line is it takes time to kind of grow together. And you got to look at the situation. Taylor's back from the ACL, but you got a new left guard. You got Ben Jones also, who's an older player, and I never crap on an older player. If you continue to play, man, do your thing. I'm all for it. But Ben goes down a little bit in the game. You have to move Aaron Brewer over also. You got Nate, who's just now getting back into the lineup too. I think he missed a good bit of preseason for undisclosed reasons, and he wasn't in. And now you also got a rookie right tackle who's in a competition with a guy that was supposed to take that spot, actually started off camp in that position, but lost it. So there hasn't been any cohesion. There hasn't been any build-up of what an offensive line should be. I'm sorry to kind of like break the news about it, but those guys got to kind of go. They kind of have to have some bumps and bruises and bad games, because all that does is make that group come closer. The biggest issue with the Titans offensive line, and I'd almost go with Cincinnati too. Cincinnati's invested a lot of money in their offensive line. And I think people think that you can just put that group together and then, boom, they're good. No. You got to figure out how the guy to the right or left of you works. You got to also figure out new guys. How much help do you need from me? How much emphasis of what you do well do we need to focus on? How do we hide your deficiencies? That's what Cincinnati's going through right now. So it's not just a Tennessee thing. We're seeing teams across the league. The Steelers, they're in the exact same situation also where you expect because you got pedigree guys that they're supposed to just, okay, it's supposed to click. No. Look at the teams and how you build, how coaches have built them up. They start with probably a tackle. Then they go get a center. Then they get a couple of guards. Then they have one of the system guards come into play. And next thing you know, you got a group of guys that have been together, grown up together, and you can say, man, that is a bad unit right there. You look at Buffalo. They've kind of done that a little bit. I'll be completely honest with you, too. I know this is going to sound very weird to kind of say, but people laughed at Detroit when they went out and got that tackle last year. But if you look at their team right now, they're building from the inside out, meaning we can handle Goff for as long as we want to, but guess what? I got a left tackle. I got an all-pro center or a Pro Bowl center. I got a young right tackle that's really good, and you put those groups of guys together, and you say, grow up together. And mind you, the quarterback, he's going to figure it out. And that's what I feel like they're doing. To me, Detroit's next piece will probably end up being a franchise guy simply because they got a group in front of them that's going to be able to protect that guy and make him feel comfortable. Look, that's the same thing that Dallas ended up doing with Dak. Dak looked good and Zeke looked good because they ended up having Smith at left tackle. Then they go get a guard. Then they get a center. And then they go get a second-round tackle out of LSU. And they just started plugging and playing that left guard. Like, hey, when you have four of the five or three of the five that are young enough and grow up together, you get those results, Savage. So, yeah, I saw, you know, MPF be physical. I was able to see Nate clean up some bodies, but it wasn't five guys at one because it kind of takes time. And the Titans aren't in that position. Cincinnati's not in that position to kind of say, all right, grow up. No, this team here in Nashville won't result now because you look at Derrick Henry, you kind of say to yourself, how much time we got left with him? Oh, man, we got to start paying Jeff. Oh, man, Nate got to get paid. Like, that, it kind of speeds up the process, but there's no real time to really allow that type of development, man. And it sucks because, like you said too, Bass, it's not just a one group thing. It's tight ends. I mean, on that toss left, on one of those toss left, you had a tight end get beat with Von Miller getting into the backfield. It looked like the OL, but that was a tight end. All of that has to come together. And going 0-2, feeling that pressure of another team coming into your city that's 0-2, it gives you a lot of uneasiness. And I'll be, we've been there too. You just got to get the first one, and that's what they're looking for this weekend.
Okay, so my positive takeaway from what you were talking about with that offensive line is that cohesion can happen. Like, there's hope.
Yeah.
And we saw it last year. Honestly, we saw it last year. They were bad to start the year.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it's different pieces, too. But they were not good to start the year. They got better. It was still a problem,
right,
but they got better as the season went along. So is there hope with the pieces that are there now that cohesion can get better?
It is, but you really not afforded the time for it, Bab.
Because that's a no.
The skin, I mean, I don't want to say no. Absolutely not. But the issue is this. Okay, you got the Raiders trying to get back to 500. You got them, and they're trying to get a dub also. But then you go to the Colts, and then you go to Washington, which has a really good defense also. And then you get a bye. And guess what you get after that? You got the Colts again, and then you got to go to Houston with a head coach in Lovie Smith who's really good at defense, right? We know that to be true. So you're in an ongoing battle, and it doesn't get easier because you got Kansas City. Your real first break might be the Denver Broncos. And what you don't want then is Russell to actually start making plays.
Yeah, because you know that's going to happen eventually, right?
At some point.
You expect it to.
Exactly. And then you're fighting up against
Green Bay. Sure, it'll be right in time.
Right.
Exactly. So The bye week should say a lot. They probably will almost go back into like a light camp mode. So, all right, let's reset. No matter what the record is at that time, Bab, just simply because if Luan is out, you pretty much have a youthful offensive line aside from Ben. So you can start just getting grimy in practices and start hardening yourself to a lot of just, okay, we got to have a hard reset. And you want it to be by that bye week by either getting this game this week, getting one of those Colts games, winning at Washington, and just make it to the bye and reshift then.
All right. Check this out, Savager. Now, let me insert a little bit of hope, hopefully. Some hope, hopefully. You know, I'm a big guy. I'm a guy that's big on experience. You know what I mean? You can walk me through it. You've been a part of a situation where you've lost a great running back. You've been able to sub in a running back because your line was together. That running back go for 1,000 yards. Have you ever been a part of a situation where you got two pieces on the line that are vets and everybody else you're trying to plug and go, and then maybe one goes out and it's just one left from like the time with you, DeCastro, Pouncey, Big Al, and then your right tackle, you could kind of plug and go on your right tackle as it went. But have you ever been a part where it was just two of you guys, and how do you get through that?
No, it ain't ever just been two. We've had at least three. And that's what you don't want. And nowadays, too, with the practice squad being as big as it is, like 16 guys in the practice squad, like it's great for the guys because they're employed. It's terrible for teams who are trying to manage their rosters. Like normally there will probably be one or two good quality or decent guys left out on the free agent market. But most of the teams are thinking the same thing. Get as much talent as we can. We saw that with David and Nene. The Steelers come snatch him. You know, just because, well, you're not going to use them, well, let me take them because I'm allowed to right now. And that's where, you know, the issue comes into play. But, again, if it's just J-Rob we trust and you trust the methods in which they have dealt with guys bringing in and out and that standard has been upheld, anything is possible. And that's kind of just where I am. It's not doom and gloom as it may sound like for me. I'm just telling you, like, I guess where I'm coming from, it's the urgency has to be now, and that urgency is getting that first dub. Like, it's not doom and gloom. It certainly is not. But it's a matter of your rookies don't have time to grow up. They need to be adults right now. Guys who are in those role positions, if the starter in front of you go out, you got to go. You can't have rookies muffin punts 2 weeks in a row, and you can't miss field goals. Like, losing exposes a lot.
Yeah.
And I guess that's kind of what I'm saying.
Yep. I think you're spot on with that. Yeah, a lot of things are amplified when you start to lose, and those little things you take for granted, like a chip shot field goal, you know, regular fair catch of a punt. Yeah, all that's heightened by a loss. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So before we switch over to your beloved
go
balls,
on.
Hold on,
bad,
one more. I'm curious because we talked about this yesterday, and if you watch some of that game. You know, I didn't put a lot on Derrick Henry. I know some people were all on Derrick Henry for not being Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. But you weren't.
I mean,
all
I wasn't. I wasn't all
I mean, there's some people that are like, he's done.
Yeah,
he's done. Write him off.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case. I think the offensive line is really struggling. But there were some points where I thought, okay, maybe that's on play calling and Todd Downing. And then there were other times where I thought, well, clearly, Ryan Tannehill can see what is in front of him. Like, why wouldn't he check out of something? Or, you know, what did you see offensively on some of those plays that you mentioned earlier, kind of the three straight to the left? You know, is that play calling? Is that Ryan Tannehill should be able to see what's in front of him and check out of something? What are you seeing as a guy who was in those trenches?
Let's see. Something different for dinner. Searching restaurants near me.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Gee, same old, same old.
Wait, we're right here, ma'am. Our restaurant's just a few blocks from you. Why is she not seeing us?
Back to the usual, I guess.
Ma'am, can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local restaurants. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
For 12 years.
Well, I think in general, probably maybe 2020, a little bit of last year, Well, there was some check with me opportunities for Tannehill, and I think that was probably because they were just rolling on offense. As of late, to me, it seems like there's a call it and go type of tempo to the Titans offense, you know, and watching it as you know, as savvy as Tannehill has been and as old as he is in this league too, he's double-digit years in this league. A guy like him should understand the offense or be given that free reign and like, all right, Tannehill, it's your show, go. But we're not really seeing that right now. So when you're in those fronts to where it's, hey, call and go, and it's a bad look, it just doesn't bode well. Again, I'm not taking credit for nothing. But one thing I've been saying continuously and just consistently is this. If this offense want to go and you want to be able to do what you want to do in the run game and the pass game, Tannehill has got to take control of this offense. So they got to give him the keys to it. I honestly do think he can do it because he can read defenses. He can command the huddle. He has the respect of his team. I almost question why they don't allow that more often. It'd be times in the games for us, and I'm not comparing, you know, Tannehill to Ben, but they're like, all right, Ben, it's your show, call it. And it was just that. And it was, all right, guys, easy, 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 check with me. And we go to a better play. I'm not sure if we're consistently getting it. And that's one thing that I love to see because I heard Todd Downing earlier today, you know, he said, you know, why run the play two times to the left? Well, one was in regular and one was in sub defense. Well, if that's the case and it wasn't a good look in your sub defenses when you have a nickel or dime in. Well, if it's still not a good look in nickel when you're supposed to be big on body, big bodies on small bodies, well, where's the check at? Like, you can't set them up for failure if you think it's a good look and then you get lined up and it's not a good look. As much as I want to put a lot of blame on those guys, after hearing that, I'm like, where's the check with me? You know, college players get the check with me, and the check with me is, oh, this ain't a good look. Hey, easy, easy. Like opposite or whatever you want to call it, flip it. Like, there's a lot of that has to happen, and for some reason somebody's not tossing the keys to Tannehill, or maybe Tannehill's not. I don't know what to say about
not
that situation.
Turning the key in the ignition or something. That's great insight because that's what I thought. I've been saying it for 2 days watching that film. So that's really great insight on that. Like, why? I mean, at this point, you either trust Tannehill or you don't. You paid him, right?
Yeah.
Let him do his job.
So it's, it's frustrating. And I know this fan base is a little frustrated, too. I didn't even want to get like this with y'all today, man.
Well, you know what? Let's switch gears, Ramon. Hey, Hunk, hit a little Rocky Top here. Maybe this will help. There you go, Ramon. How's that?
That bring my butt back. Gotta bring him back right
Slay,
now.
Slay, I'll let you start this combo.
Savagery, let me ask you, man, before we get out of here, dog. Like, we're going up there. We got the Calhouns. We got a time on Calhouns. What time we pregaming, tailgate or whatever we got going on?
12 to 1:30 Eastern time. We'll be live here on 104.5. Also, I got some of my guys coming by. You will be by. It'll be a great time on the river. We'll see the Ball Navy. Heck, we might even get the helicopter fly over or something. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be a good time.
Hey, man. Okay, so atmosphere getting ready. I try to explain to people what it was like as a student athlete outside of football getting ready for this week. Give me what goes into preparation for these rivalry games, especially of Florida coming up on the hill, knowing that you got some dogs to go fight with.
Man, it's a good feeling. Knowing you're a good team, knowing you walk into that stadium and it's all of them versus that little group over there on the sideline, and all you want to do is survive and get that dub. Like, it's nerves getting off the bus to go to the Vol walk. It's nerves walking down that tunnel to go to the locker room. It's nerves going onto that field to say the team prayer. It's nerves as far as – and all of this is good nerves, good energy, good feel. Mm-hmm. Like, and Will kind of brought something up today as far as, you know, Vol Nation. Like, if there is an opportunity for something to go bad, don't harp on it then. It's a full 60-minute game because the guys aren't focusing on that. One turnover, one big play by Florida, you can't allow that type of stuff. And I think that's where when you know you got a good spot, like, that's one of our game maxims. If the game of breaks go against you, don't let up, put on more steam. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the mentality of a team, like, in a dogfight of what I think this is going to be against Florida. I'm looking forward to it, man. Buck Rising said he found the ticket to come up to the game. So he's going to get an opportunity to experience that because he's never seen it going to a Vanderbilt and Indiana University tailgate. No, this is – I thought Ole Miss last year was good, Savage, and you remember how that was.
Yep.
I think this one might be times three.
Yeah, we're going up a couple notches, man. Sure enough, man. I ain't going to ask you for your prediction. Everybody can get that on Ramon and Will. Weekdays mornings from 6 to 10 on 104.5 The Zone. Y'all tap in with a Big Savager. We appreciate you, man. Go Vols, baby.
Go Vols. Joe Humps, you can't say that.
We got him on the watch. We got Hunk on the watch. We don't really know what side he on. Two SEC teams.
Yeah, he went Babs half the time. Babs, I thought I was going to hear from you today, too. I called you out like 2-3 times. I was just waiting for my phone to buzz. And you must have been asleep or something. I don't know.
I was going to throw it out there, Savage.
You
should have
told me. No, I was on player calls this morning, so I didn't get to listen this morning.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was waiting for that Don Davenport to pop up on my phone, and you let me down, Babsy.
Oh, well, I'm going to have to go back and listen to it. I'll get you a nice earful on Monday. You know what? I don't have a leg to stand on right now. My team's a disaster.
Appreciate you, Savage.
Everybody go through it. All right, y'all.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Man. I'll ask you guys how to get through it.
Because we know.
You guys know.
We don't know.